Now, by a show of hands, who here remembers, maybe I remember this from elementary school, show and tell. Do you remember show and tell? That was like the best. That was the best. So I remember doing that in elementary school. Now, do they still, those of who have been in elementary school in the last 15 years, do you still do that? Yes, I saw from some teachers nodding. Yes, that is the best. Okay. So now for those of you who are online, my parents are online on the online service. So you in the comments, you can fact check me on this because I remember this is a show and tell that, because I loved show and tell because you get to bring in cool things and then you get to talk about them. I mean, what's better than that, right? I had a show and tell that actually went really badly. And I don't actually remember whether this was an item that I brought in or somebody else in the classroom brought in, but it sounds like something that, you know, third grade me would totally do. So there was this wasp nest. Some of you already know how this one turned out, right? You know, and of course, you know, as I remember it, we had sprayed it, you know, so there was no more wasps. They were all dead. We'd even put it in the freezer so that it would kill off any of the, you know, any wasp larvae. But they're like, you know, those kind of papery gray things like an orb. So I brought that into the classroom, and it was the best thing ever. And we all just looked at it and poked at it, and it was wonderful. And somewhere during the day, as I recall, something went wrong. And that even though you've sprayed it and put it in the freezer or whatever we did, I'm sure my dad was really, he's Mr. Responsible. So he did whatever was supposed to be done, and probably some step got missed or something. Anyways, yeah, you already know how that turns out. And we had at least one, maybe, I think it was maybe one or two people in our class that was actually allergic to bee stings. And so like the room cleared out and it was very chaotic, but show and tell. It was one of the best parts of school. And actually the phrase show and tell ends up really connecting to what we're going to be talking about today. We're in a series called Bless, and what it means to try to be a blessing to the world around us. We've talked about how we need to begin with prayer because God is at work before we are even on the scene. We need to listen with care because the Holy Spirit is at work in the people around us. It's not our job to try to force a situation. It's our job to connect with what God is already doing in the situation. So we listen with care. We do things like Pastor Mark talked about last week, where we eat together. We find ways for hospitality, to welcome people into our lives, whatever exactly that looks like in our world and even in the situations and the health and all that stuff. But we find ways to reach out. And then today, we're going to talk about the part of what it means to bless our community that's probably, I think, in some ways, maybe even the most important. And that's the idea that we need to show our faith and then tell our faith. That show and tell is a good model for evangelism. Now, it doesn't always go in this order, but it usually does. And I think it's all the more true in this kind of post-truth world that we live in, where everybody doubts everything all the time. It all depends on your source. And so when you start talking about Jesus, people need to see that it's real in you. And one of the greatest markers of authenticity for your faith and my faith and our faith collectively is our commitment to serving the needs of the people around us. Show and tell. Now, next week, we're going to talk about tell. And so we'll try to provide some tools for how we can express our faith. But today I just want to talk about that first part, that service part, that what it means to show and to demonstrate our faith and to just remind ourselves of the importance of service, of serving in love. Now, it shouldn't be surprising to us that the first and best model we see of somebody who served in love is Jesus. And so we're going to spend some time today in John chapter 13. So if you've got your Bibles out, your digital Bibles, or however you access God's Word, I invite you to open that up to John chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. And this is a really, really key night. So this is the night of Jesus' final meal before he makes the journey to the cross. And in this night, Jesus does something that really, really, really gets his disciples' attention. And one of the ways we know that is that John, the one who's, you know, we're reading the book of John, written by John, and that John wrote more about this night than any other part of Jesus' life. It seems like he recorded almost every moment that was said, everything that happened. So something really, really, and this is the guy who's seen Jesus raise somebody from the dead. I mean, this moment really got Jesus' attention. So let's spend some time there. Okay. And this got John's attention, sorry. So let's spend some time there. So here we go. It was just before the Passover meal, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was around him. Now, I don't know if you caught the first part of the... There's a detail in here. Jesus took off his outer clothing. Outer clothing. Now, I just took off a jacket. If we're really getting technical about this, that would mean that Jesus took off all of his outer clothing. Now, let's just, I know, people got excited, you're like, don't run for the, this is the image, just hang on with me for a second. The image of Jesus in his boxers would get your attention, right? Teachers don't do that. Pastors who want to keep their jobs don't strip down to their underwear in the middle of a sermon. Don't worry, I don't mean to traumatize you all. Although I remember, like when they're teaching you how to not be nervous as a public speaker, they say just imagine your audience in their underwear. No, let's not do that today. I don't have that kind of money for therapy. So let's just not do that. But we'll think of the towel, okay. But the thing is, nobody does this. But Jesus did this. Jesus did this. This is a moment that got the disciples' attention. Jesus in his Fruit of the Looms. Well, it's more than that. But you know what I mean. This was not how rabbis would dress. This is not how teachers would dress. This is not how leaders would dress. And this is what Jesus did. Let's keep reading. Because see, it scandalizes the disciples. Like, some of you were on the verge of being scandalized. There's going to be nasty notes coming my way. You know, I know that. Because this is a scandalous moment. So, Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. So let's just pause there for a second. So Peter, I love Peter. He is like an all or nothing guy all the time. So he's scandalized. He doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And he's like, okay, if you're going to do this, you're going to wash all of me. He's the guy that you can imagine Jesus saying, Peter, I am called. Like, if Jesus was ministering to disciples today, you know, Peter, I'm calling you to missions. He'd be like, I am signing up for the first mission to Mars. I'm going to be a missionary on Mars. I'm going to call up Elon Musk. We're going on the trip. Here we go. He'd be that guy when Jesus was really, what he was really meaning to say to Peter is, no, Peter, I'm not trying to send you to Mars. I'm trying to get you to walk across the street and greet your neighbor. A lot of times we think when God calls us to do something, he wants us to do something super dramatic. And maybe he does. Maybe you are actually called to be a missionary to Mars. Maybe, probably not. But I do know you are called to be a missionary to your neighborhood. I do know that you are called to be a missionary to your family. I do know that you are called to be a missionary to the circle of people that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. Peter, who is all or nothing, Jesus had to dial him back a little bit. And then continuing on, verse 10. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I set you an example of what you should do, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And of course, this is not the only time Jesus expressed this high value of service. In the book of Luke, he put it this way, and as the disciples were, you know, as disciples are known to do, disputing with one another. A dispute rose, I'm reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 26. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the least, the youngest, sorry, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Just think of the scandal of that situation of the foot washing. I mean, this really, really got the disciples' attention. They see Jesus stripped down to almost nothing, put himself in the most humble of roles, a role that most of the time that would be the kind of the least ranking member of the family's role, or they in a formal meal they would often have some sort of a servant, you know, do the foot washing. And Jesus took that role. I don't think in our society sometimes we understand just how impactful this moment was. Because see, one of the things about our culture is we have this rich heritage of Christianity. You know, we've got all this. Jesus has influenced us more than we know. So that most people, even someone that wouldn't be a Christ follower, declare themselves to be a Christ follower publicly, would say servant leadership is a really, really good thing. We write about this in like secular journals and secular leadership things. Servant leadership. That's why even though we know it's a photo op, we love it when presidents show up at disaster zones. You know, whether that's to hand out bottled water or paper towels or whatever they're doing. You know it's a photo op, right? But we universally, or most of us, would say that is a good thing. I'm glad that these powerful people are in positions of service. This is good. Servant leadership is good. But prior to the time of Jesus, this didn't exist. Jesus was the first one. This moment of foot washing. That in the kingdom of God, the one who leads is the one who serves. It's a radically different way of looking at the world. Could you imagine Vladimir Putin washing somebody's feet? No. Kim Jong-un? No. Because these are cultures that are cultures of power. And Jesus looks at his authority and his power in a radically, radically, radically different way. Kingdom leadership is different than worldly leadership, period. And for us as Christians, as we're looking to demonstrate our faith, to have people hear the message of the good news of Jesus, the redeeming, transforming grace of God. For us to serve, our service is evidence of authenticity. Now, it's not the only evidence of authenticity, and let's be honest, service can be faked. But when people see people who claim to be followers of Jesus serving, it starts to break down some of the barriers. So let's talk about service. So in your life, who are you serving? And where are you serving? Now, so in the church, oftentimes, you've probably figured out this, but you know, the church is not actually here to serve you. The church is here to provide a platform so that we get to serve together, and we get to serve one another. I hope you are finding a place of service. So for many of you, I know you serve out in the community. That's why we've been highlighting all these different nonprofits, the whole 401 Natchee Valley thing, and so that we can encourage one another. Wherever God calls you to serve based on your gifts and your talents and your time and your passion and your interest, you get out there and you do something somewhere to make a difference. So, you know, I hope maybe you'll even, if you need to catch up, go to our church website, click on the 4 Wenatchee Valley link, and we've got a number of nonprofits that you have recommended. I did interviews with different executive directors of different nonprofits. Maybe one of those nonprofits is a place you want to serve. Or maybe you want to practice serving here. So let me give you some ideas, because I got you as a captive audience for a moment, you know. So starting with the youngest, if you love babies, nursery could be a great place to serve. We're just a couple people, just a couple more volunteers away from being able to have a sustainable rotation so that every week we can provide nursery care. Just a couple of volunteers away from that. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Or next level up, children's ministry. You know, like every week we pray for our kids' ministry. If you love kids, you love to teach lessons, you love to sing songs or do silly actions, or love to watch somebody else do silly actions, and be a great place to serve. In youth ministry, I'm working in youth ministry right now. I love our teens. They're amazing. They're a lot of fun. A lot of energy. A lot of fun. Come be a part of that. So talk to me if you want to take a step with youth ministry. Or the next level up, you know, of just to gather people, kind of like Kathy has been doing with the women's fellowships, or Brian's been doing with the men's events, with serving together and learning together and studying together, and all of our amazing connection group leaders. We're so grateful for people who will say, I'm gonna work on gathering some people. I'm going to try to get people into the Word together. And that could be a great place to serve. Or for some, that will be things more related to, you know, facilities and grounds. We've got people that vacuum clean and empty garbages and people that help with the Love Like Jesus sign and mowing lawns. Oh my goodness, there's so much to do. Or as you start to think for ministries that are even more outward, you know, we've got a team that goes to Bonaventure pretty much every afternoon, pretty much. They're in lockdown today. Or also Avamere. And for a while at Highgate. There's so much need. There's so much opportunity. And these are the seniors in these environments are just incredible people to hear and experience all this seasoned faith and just to be there to open up the Word together, sing some old songs together and love on each other. It's a beautiful thing. Or maybe one of the food-related ministries. You like food? So maybe that would be with somebody like Michelle or also with Kathy with the Green Bag program of making those kind of things. Or with Brian, he takes a team over to the Lighthouse to serve meals and massive, massive amounts of food go out to families that are in need. That's happening every week. You could be a part of that. Or we're getting ready to send a couple of teams up next summer to serve with some of our native Alaskan church partners up in the Norton Sound area of Alaska, up close to the Arctic Circle. Some amazing places and amazing people. There's opportunities to serve there as well. So I hope you'll find a place of service. Oh, I should also mention things like our Sunday morning teams. So that's like hospitality. So coffee or we're getting ready to start communion teams again soon, or ushers and prayer teams. And so, you know, if you're interested in any of those areas, if there's something that's on your heart, I mean, grab one of the connection cards in front of you and write down your name and I care about this and or I'm interested in this and pop it in one of the baskets and we'll get some of those leaders connected to you, and you can find out ways to take the next step. Now, ten years ago, I would probably preach this message in a slightly different way than I'm going to land it today. Because, see, this is the moment where, the younger version of me would get all fired up. It'd be kind of inspiring and stuff and be like, you know, if you're stuck in your faith, maybe it's because you're stuck in neutral. Or if you're stuck in your faith, it's because you've been stuck on the couch for too long. So get off your duff and let's go and do it. And giddy up, let's go, let's go, let's go. And for some of you, a small percentage of you today, you probably need to hear that. Like if you really aren't serving anywhere, guys, it's time to get it in gear. It really is. You're not going to experience the fullness of your walk with Jesus until you start to actually put it into action somewhere. So if you're stuck in your faith, maybe it's because you're just playing, you're stuck. You're stuck on the couch, or you're stuck in neutral. So for a few of you, you need to hear that, and I hope you will hear that clearly today. If you're stuck in your faith and you're not serving anywhere, like anywhere at all, I can tell you why you're stuck in your faith. Because you need to do something. It's time to put it in gear. Let's go. And we'd love to help you. We'd love to come alongside. Here's what I would say differently now, a few more years into ministry. See, I know that many of you, if not most of you, are serving somewhere. And so you're pretty tender-hearted because you really do want to make a difference. And sometimes you've experienced service a little bit like this. I don't know if can we kind of do a close up. Jerry, can you pull the camera in tight just so you can see this? So service sometimes for you will feel like this. It sometimes does for me. You've got all these different needs. So you pour out some time and some energy here. You pour out some time and energy here. And you pour out some more time and energy here. And it's never quite enough. And then you just see the need, and so you're like, oh, hey, I got a few more drops. And if I can just squeeze this thing, I can get a bit more out because there's so much need. It's inspiring because, you know, because it feels like you're just going to, I'm just going to give and give and give and until you got nothing left to give. You ever feel like that? Now there is something sacrificial about this model of just giving and pouring yourself out and pouring yourself out and pouring yourself out. But that's not actually how Jesus did it. You know, before the Last Supper, we see this pattern in Jesus' life continuously. As Jesus would spend time with the Father in prayer, he would get away from time to time. He would even say no to people from time to time. And then he would pour himself out into people. And then, in fact, we saw this right after the Last Supper. As he had washed his disciples' feet, as he had taught some of the most profound teachings of his life. I mean, John was recording, it seems, almost every moment of what Jesus said that night. Where did Jesus go? Do you remember? Why did he go? To pray. So Jesus went back to refill with the Father, so that he could continue to pour himself out. Now here's where the illustration kind of falls apart, because this jug is about to run out of water. And I want you to know, friends, your Father never runs out of water. And some of you are already serving in so many places. And maybe this is a moment, today is a moment where you're going to sign up for a new area. For some of you, it is time to get off your duff. It really is. For others, what I hope you could do today is just be deliberate about the areas where you're already serving. Jesus wants to use you right where you are. And for some of you, your place of greatest service right now is in your home. Maybe it's with your parents, if they're aging, or somebody with sickness. Maybe it's with your kids. Parents, if you're raising kids, it's a tough world. Or it's going to be through an area of your employment. We've got teachers in the room. Man, if you hear that somebody is a teacher, would you like pat them on the back, like a whole bunch? Last couple of years have been rough. But to be deliberate about serving where you already are. That those acts of love, those acts of pouring yourself out, they matter. Now, Your service may or may not show up on Instagram. Now, when it does, that's kind of cool because, yeah, that does, you know, help to reinforce the whole, like, Christians, they're not all self-centered. The culture has seen a lot of self-centered Christians in the last couple of years. I know I'm getting a little controversial here, but there's pockets of evangelical Christianity. We have acted like just another special interest group Like, it shouldn't surprise, like, when the only thing you get excited about is things that inconvenience you, that just means we're just acting just like everybody else. There's nothing unique about that. Like, I don't condemn you for feeling that, but we're just acting like everybody else. And not every act of selfless, outward-focused community service is going to end up on Instagram. It's nice when it does because it helps to poke a hole in the resistance of the people around us who don't yet know Jesus, who said, why should I follow Jesus? Because Christians are just like everybody else. Or maybe they've met one of our mean ones, and then they're like, why should I follow Jesus? Because I don't want to be like that guy or her. But you need to know this too, friends. Even when your area of service is not Instagrammable, it doesn't look good, it's not public, do you know who sees it? God does. And even those acts of service that are done in secret, in mediocrity, that aren't social media worthy, those matter too. Those also are those true marks of authenticity. When we follow the way of our master, and we lay ourselves down, we lay our interests down, our time down, our prayer down, our love down, our focus down, our resources down, whatever God is calling you to give. When we follow the way of our master, it matters. Changes our hearts too. So as you think about the areas in your life where you're serving, my nice wet sermon notes, because it's all been poured out so much that sometimes it even overflows. Isn't that awesome? That the Father always, always has enough. You know, those simple questions as you think of the people around you, what does this person, what does blank need from me in order to thrive? And Lord, help me to give what's needed. So I want to ask you, three questions. One, who are you serving? I've been challenging you to pray for people in your life. We've got a basket there that's filled up with names of people that you're praying for. God, would you open up an opportunity for me to share the good news of Jesus with this person? Who are you serving? That would be a great place to start. Maybe it's the neighbor across the street. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. What do they need? It might be a foot washing. Probably something a little more practical than that at the moment. But maybe it is. Who are you serving? Where are you serving? And I want to add this last question. Will you let God refill you as you serve? Service matters. What do you think would happen if Christians, like just regular, everyday Christians like you and me, what if we were actually known for our service? Now, on some level, I mean, I realize, you know, the meaner a Christian gets, the more likely they are to show up on the evening news. You've seen that. But show me the soup kitchen that's been started by an atheist. show me. Christians were founders of the first hospitals. When we pray for medical workers, we are praying for people who are living in the legacy of Christians that have gone before them that said, when people are sick, I'm going to show up. When we pray for our teachers, we pray for people who are living in the legacy of Christians. You know, the first public schools were not called public schools, they were called Sunday school. Because people realized that especially those who couldn't afford the high-priced private school, they actually deserved to read. And so they thought, well, because we want them to be able to read the Bible. So let's teach them to read. Let's give them an education. And that idea implanted in our culture, and now we have public schools, and we forget our heritage. We forget the scaffolding that built the building that we live in. Because we want all the benefits of following Jesus without the cost of it. But what if Christians lived differently and said, we're going to keep serving? I'm not going to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. Guys, it would literally change the world. That's why we believe that servant leadership is a good thing in our culture. It's because of Jesus. That's why we applaud the photo op. It's because of Jesus. Don't forget where true service comes from. It comes from Jesus. And it's the same Jesus that wants to fill you and refill you again and again and again and again for service. So meet him in those times of prayer. Pour out your heart and ask the Spirit to meet you there. He will. He does. It does not mean it is going to be easy, but it does mean it's going to be good. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you served us. First, you lay down your life, you lay down your outer cloak, you washed the disciples' feet, and in the same kind of way you've washed ours. You lay down your preferences and your needs and your rights and even your life to meet our greatest need. It is through you that we have forgiveness. It is through you we have life eternal. It is through you we have the joy of knowing our Creator, our God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is through you that we experience life, not only everlasting, and not only life in the new heaven and the new earth one day, but the fullness of life now, that you are here, you are right here. You are right here with us. You did that for us. You did that for us. Lord, help us to lay our lives down for the sake of others and for the sake of the gospel so that lost people could be found and hurting people could be helped in Jesus' name. And so if there's a spot, friends, where there's something on your heart or a person on your heart, just take a moment to lift that up, an area of ministry, an area of service, or a person. Lord, open up an opportunity for me to take the next step in serving and just name that before the Lord, just under your breath, just right now. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, use your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
See your hand like a paint.